everyone, and thank you for tuning in. My name is Amy Johnston. I am a PhD candidate in the School of Epidemiology and Public Health at the University of Ottawa and a doctoral trainee at the University of Ottawa Heart Institute. I'm delighted to be hosting today's special episode of Beats Research Radio. It's a YouTube channel and podcast that aims to disseminate science within the broader community. This episode is a special spotlight for the 2021 Canadian Women's Heart Health Summit. Today, I have the privilege of speaking with Professor Mamas Mamas, who is a presenter at this year's virtual summit. Professor Mamas is trained in medicine at the University of Oxford, completing his clinical training in the year 2000. He is a professor of cardiology at Keele University, director of the Center for Prognosis Research, and a practicing interventional cardiologist. His research interests focus on big data, the use of routinely collected electronic healthcare data to inform the diagnosis, treatment, and clinical outcomes of patients with cardiovascular disease. So welcome, Mamas.
So thank you for inviting me, Amy.
It's a pleasure, it's an absolute pleasure. So you're a strong advocate for women in cardiology, but also for better heart health for women. So I wanted to start off by asking you, why does women's heart health need more attention?
Well, first and foremost, cardiovascular disease is the most important cause of mortality in women, with over 500,000 women dying from heart disease every year. We know that after sustaining a cardiovascular event, women consistently have worse outcomes than men. We also know that women are less likely to be treated with evidence-based therapies than men. And even if they are treated, their treatment is often at a later time than men. So I think it's really important that we become more cognizant of treatment of women's cardiovascular disease. And, you know, really think about how we're treating, how we optimize outcomes for them.
Well, thank you for that. I think it's a bit startling sometimes to hear, you know, the reality of that. And just to kind of extend that a little bit further, you know, you're a practicing cardiologist and also a researcher. And I'm wondering, how do you think that women can better advocate for their own heart health?
I think first and foremost, know your numbers. I think that's really, really important. Often, you know, on billboards, you know, we have National Cancer Day. Everyone thinks about women with regards to cancer, and they don't really think about the impact of cardiovascular disease. And often with female friends, female relatives, I'll often ask them, you know, what's your cholesterol? What's your blood pressure? And they don't know. And that's really important. So I think, you know, for people listening to this podcast, if you could take away one thing, you know, ask your loved one what their blood pressure is, what their cholesterol is. And if they don't know, ask them to find out, go to see their doctor. I think second of all, the other thing that they can do is share their stories. I mean, I'm very active on social media, as are you. And I'm astounded when women often talk about their stories and their experiences with seeking medical attention for cardiovascular problems. And I think it's really important. I think it's a real eye-opener for clinicians such as myself, listening to patients' stories about how they've been misdiagnosed, how clinicians have not taken their concerns seriously, how, you know, life-changing and life-impacting cardiovascular events have been missed. So I think it's really important just to share this on social media, share it in fora that really make physicians think about how we're treating women.
All excellent points. And I think things that we hear, you know, too often, especially on social media, you know, as you mentioned, you're very active on social media. And I think it's wonderful to be able to kind of, you know, see that connection and see, you know, clinicians really interacting on that level, you know, absolutely. So thank you. You know, and just kind of extending that a little bit further, you know, as an interventional cardiologist, you know, you perform a variety of procedures to diagnose and treat cardiovascular disease. And as a researcher as well, you know, you use big data, as I mentioned, you know, when I introduced you to understand kind of the disparities in treatments that are offered. And I'm wondering if you could just, you know, briefly touch on some of the disparities maybe that, or and outcomes that you have, you know, identified or come across in women.
So we've used big data in the United Kingdom to study outcomes following acute coronary syndrome or following receipt of percutaneous coronary intervention. And I think a number of things are very evident. So first and foremost, women are far less likely to actually receive intensive management for their acute coronary syndrome. Not only that, if they do receive it, they're less likely to receive it in guideline recommended time periods. So for example, in women with a very high GRACE score, they're far less likely to receive it within 24 hours than a man with a low GRACE score, which, you know, astounds me, you know, half as likely, even though the men are far lower risk. When they do eventually get offered invasive strategy, so PCI, we often see that the way that PCIs are performed in women are suboptimal. So first and foremost, we know that adopting the radial approach, particularly in acute coronary syndrome, is associated with a reduction in major bleeding complications and better outcomes. And yet women are consistently less likely to get a radial first approach, even though they are at greater risk of bleeding complications. Secondly, we know that intracoronary imaging, particularly for complex lesions, leads to better outcomes. And yet again, consistently, women are less likely to have intracoronary imaging as part of their procedure. They're less likely to be treated with newer antiplatelet agents, even though women have greater risk of adverse outcomes following acute coronary syndromes. And finally, you know, if you look at particularly older data sets and treatment with drug-eluting stents versus bare metal stents, you know, women are far less likely to be treated with contemporary platforms. And therefore, unsurprisingly, when we've looked at this with Jessica Potts, looking at outcomes of PCI over a decade from data in the United States, we see consistently that over a decade, women have worse outcomes following PCI by about 10%, and this hasn't narrowed. So looking at the 10-year period that we studied, the outcomes and the disparities are consistent and they've been maintained, and that really is a problem. And it's not just following PCI. There was a great article this week at the STS meeting, and again, showing that women treated with bypass operations are far less likely to receive arterial grafts, far less likely to be completely revascularized. So it's no surprise that women do worse.
Wow. You know, thank you for highlighting those
depressing
those issues. Yeah, you know, it's, you know, when you summarize it like that and, you know, so succinctly, and it just... it's staggering, really. So, you know, lots of work to be done, certainly. One thing that you mentioned that I really want to pick up on and just kind of, you know, talk about very briefly is, you know, you mentioned that you are a strong presence on social media, particularly Twitter, and you've been described as a cardiology Twitter celebrity. You know, you have more than 31,000 followers. I am one of those followers. And, you know, you've been very vocal about how social media can be used, you know, really to facilitate clinical education. But I'm wondering if you can just, you know, briefly touch on what you think about, you know, using social media to actually educate the general public about, particularly about women's heart health.
So I think first and foremost to say I'm probably more someone that spends too much time on social media than being any form of celebrity. But anyway, I think social media, you know, is great. And I think it's really important. We both interact with many patients on social media. And I think, you know, discussing these sorts of issues is so important, particularly the message around, you know, risk factors. I think, you know, a lot of the speakers at the meeting, you know, are very active on advocating for women's health. And I think it's just so important to, you know, say that cardiovascular disease is important in women and encouraging them to understand their risk factors, understand that it's so important to measure things like blood pressure, hypercholesterolemia. I think the sorts of conversations that you and I have over social media, as well as many of our friends, even if it gets one or two women to think, wait a minute, I don't know what my cholesterol is, I need to get this checked out, that's such a big impact. And I think that's really important. And I think second of all, I think it's really important in that it empowers women. I think, you know, women knowing that cardiovascular disease is one of the, you know, most important causes of mortality with them, when they have interactions with healthcare professionals that perhaps are less than satisfactory, being empowered and knowing what the standard of care should be, knowing how important cardiovascular disease is, and knowing how, you know, that their symptoms may be manifestations of cardiovascular disease, and having, you know, the power and being empowered to be able to communicate this with healthcare providers is so important. And I think social media has a very important role in education around this, and really bringing the issue of cardiovascular health in the open around women. Because as I said earlier in the interview, everyone thinks about cancer and women's health. I think cardiovascular health is very much the silent killer and the forgotten killer, unfortunately. You know, we don't talk about it enough, and I think we need to.
Definitely. And, you know, I hope that we can continue the social media momentum and, you know, continue to just, you know, get the message out. So, so thank you for doing all you do, you know, and, you know, really appreciate, your insights today. And thank you so much, for, you know, sharing your thoughts and a little bit about, you know, your research. You know, this concludes, our, short episode. Unfortunately, we could talk for a lot longer, I'm sure of that, of Beats Research Radio. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, and you can find us actually also on your favorite podcast app. And on behalf of the whole research team at Beats Research Radio, stay safe and heart healthy.
Thank you.